The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Oh, when you're up, you're up. You're on top of the world. But when you're down, everybody wants to put a boot in the back of your head. And that's what's happening to Eric Adams. Swagger man with no plan, mayor of the illegal aliens, who's had three campaign fundraisers raided by two separate divisions of the FBI and the Justice Department, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District and the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District. And guess who's jumped on the pile? A man he considered to be his friend, Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network. He was a proud graduate of the initial class that included Alvin Bragg. But Al Slim Shady Sharpton senses weakness in Mayor Eric Adams, the second black mayor of New York City, that at a black church in Elmhurst, Queens, he railed, "How come you're not hiring more black folks? Eric Adams, you need to make it a priority. Without black people, you wouldn't be mayor." Well, in this one, Al Slim Shady Sharpton is exactly right. Generally, to the victor go the spoils in politics. Eric Adams is mayor of the city of New York because African Americans came out in high numbers in a primary he barely won, and then in the general election against me. So generally, to the victor go the spoils. When Rudy Giuliani beat David Dinkins, who appears to be Eric Adams' mentor, he rewarded Staten Island. They came out with an unprecedented vote because it was a vote on secession of Staten Island that was arranged by Borough President Guy Molinari. When Eric Adams was sworn into office, he said he would take care of the needs of African-American people, especially those who were homeless, destitute, emotionally disturbed, and might even have served America in peacetime or wartime as veterans. But then all of a sudden, he wanted to be the mayor to roll out the red carpet for the illegal aliens, for the migrants, thinking, according to his advisors, that this would get me eventually into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'll be the president, the second black president of the United States, because the Latino vote will come my way with the black vote, and I will be in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Psych! Now even Al Slim Shady Sharpton is putting a boot to the back of his very dear friend, or former very dear friend, Eric Adams, swagger man with no plan.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
How many times in professional basketball, the NBA, have we seen the last second shot by LeBron James to seal a victory? How many times in the NCAA, whether female competition or male competition, a last-second shot beats the buzzer, and it's a win. It's a win. Not so in high school in New Jersey. An Ocean County, New Jersey Superior Court judge denied Manasquan High School's court filing on Thursday to postpone the New Jersey Group 2 basketball championship game after the state semifinal ended in a very controversial fashion. Manasquan, which was not favored over Camden, was to have a seemingly wrong call at the end of this semi-matchup against Camden overturned, and instead at the Monmouth County High School declared the winners. Judge Mark Tronconi ruled that the Superior Court did not have the jurisdiction to prevent Saturday's state title game, slated to take place between Jersey's Mike's Arena on Rutgers campus at noon, from occurring as scheduled until the New Jersey Department of Education makes its decision. Woe is me for Manasquan, which has filed another appeal. Never before in the history of high school basketball has it been so clear that a buzzer beater at the end of Tuesday's game seemingly defeated Camden and would allow Manasquan to advance to the championship game. So you say to yourself, is it right that a referee in a zebra shirt makes a bad call and destroys the dreams and aspirations of the parents, of the supporters, of the coaches, of the teachers, of the principal, and most importantly, the students and alumni of Manasquan High School, who were never expected to beat Camden High School, that has been a champion at division level basketball in New Jersey for quite some time. Do the right thing. Everyone can see the video. It's clear the buzzer-beating shot cleared the rim in plenty of time. Make Manasquan the official winner of that semifinal game against Camden so that they can get into the state finals. If not, it is a double shanda and it is a double disgraziata.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Congestion pricing has given me vertigo. The many arguments, twists, and turns that are leading to what the MTA, money-taking authority, says will be an absolute toll of $15 for those going south of 60th Street in Manhattan come June. The technical apparatus is already set up. What hasn't been anticipated is the involvement of unions against congestion pricing, including the transit union. But first, let me go to the UFT Union of Failed Teachers, Michael Mogul, chancellor. He, in fact, is a resident of Staten Island. He has joined Vito Fisella, the borough president. Now, Vito is a Republican conservative. Michael Mogul, a Democrat liberal. And they have joined together in a lawsuit to block the MTA money-taking agency, Kathy Crimewave Holcomb and Eric Adams, from putting into effect congestion pricing with a unique, novel argument in which the UFT and Michael Mogul are picking up the tab for all the legal expenses. But hold on. The chief of the MTA's biggest union, which once supported New York's controversial congestion pricing plan, is now threatening a massive confrontation with transit management over the proposed $15 daily toll to enter Midtown or Lower Manhattan. The head of the National Transport Workers Union, John Samuelson, originally president of the most radical union in the city of New York, TWU Local 100, representing the conductors, the motormen, the track workers, maintenance workers, and token berth clerks of the subway system, has decided to engage in battle with Kathy Crimewave Holcomb and her money-taking agency chairman, Jano Lieber, by placing a full-page ad in Monday's New York Post recruiting a primary challenge for the Democrat. It's going to be a massive confrontation between the TWU and the MTA, Samuelson told the Post. We're not going to sit back and take this. He added, there's going to be a massive electoral fallout for the politicians who support this. This is completely unexpected. John Samuelson was one of the key supporters of congestion pricing. How did he fall off the good ship, SS Crime Wave Kathy Holcomb? Apparently, she did not keep her friends close, and now he has become a number one enemy. It may well be the combination of the UFT and TWU Local 100, two of the biggest unions in the city, very liberal, very conservative, generally considered pro-congestion pricing, by breaking ranks and joining with the adversaries. It could doom congestion pricing. And then what will Kathy Crimewave Holcomb do? What will the MTA money-taking agency do? What will Eric Adams, swagger man with no plan, do? I have to go back to the drawing board. Tough nuggies.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
No cash bail has once again struck in the state of New York, out in Suffolk County, which has become the place where serial killers drop the body parts of their victims. I mean, you see it time and time again. Going right on back to the Gilgo Beach serial killer and a number of other enemies of society. Anyway, we have pitted against the DA of Suffolk County now, Kathy Crimewave Holcomb, who told Fox 5's Good Day New York that it's the DA who is responsible for four people being cut loose with no bail, not remanded to jail, who are responsible for chopping up two bodies of a man and a woman from Yonkers who are out there in Suffolk, whose body parts were found in a park. So you would think, wait a second, body parts in a park? That would mean that these people were murdered. These were not cadavers in formaldehyde. These were recent body parts, fresh body parts, so to speak. And Kathy Crimewave Holcomb is saying, you didn't do the right job, DA, in Suffolk County. You should have detained them slightly longer until you could prove a murder charge. And obviously, the brand new Suffolk County DA, Ray Tierney, who's been rough and tough on crime, said, mind your own beeswax, Kathy Crimewave Holcomb. It's because of the New York State Legislature for the 219th bail reform that has prohibited law enforcement from holding this four enemies of society since charges related to the mutilation and disposal of murdered corpses are no longer bail eligible. Instead, they've been given fortune off ankle bracelets. They're under supervised release. There is no such thing as supervised release. When Harvey Weinstein was giving an interview, when he had been remanded to jail, no bail, and he was sitting with a reporter from the New York Post, once he had been sprung on bail for his release before trial, his ankle bracelet was up on the wall. The Post reporter said, hey, Harvey, aren't you supposed to be wearing this ankle bracelet? Ah, as long as it's monitoring on the wall, I can go out and get a box of Milk Duds. How many enemies of society, when they have an ankle bracelet, have put it on a cat or a dog as a dog or cat collar, and it makes the monitoring agency assume that that criminal is safe and secure in their home? Bull feathers. Bull feathers, Kathy Crimewave Holcomb. More criminals turn loose in the streets to do it again because of your no cash bail.